I want to call your attention to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, if you will take your Bibles and turn to that text, John 15. And although the context is 12 through the end of the chapter, the text for this evening can be found in verse 14. Verse 14 of John 15. You are my disciples, or you are my friends, if you do what I command you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Our Father, we pray that you will open the eyes of our understanding to your word. As we look into this text, we pray that you will open the eyes of our understanding that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. May we not be dazzled, Father, with what man can do, but may we be worshipers because of what God will do. We pray that the Spirit himself shall be our instructor, and that we will grasp something of the wonder of this relationship we have with Christ, which was initiated by God himself and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So bless the word to each of our hearts this evening, and the remainder of this service, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Several years ago, of course, as I tell you how long ago it is, and even name the person with whom I am identifying with my introductory remarks, you will know that it's been a long, long, long time that this actually took place. Several years ago, I was in the city of San Francisco, and I was standing at Candlestick Stadium, waiting for the baseball stadium to open to see one of the great games that was going to be played that evening between the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants. I got there early. It was going to be my first experience seeing a major league game. It was an exciting experience. As I got there, I was going to see Willie Mays. I was going to see Don Drysdale. I was going to see Juan Marichal. I was going to see Sandy Koufax. And I was standing waiting for the gate to open, and up came a beautiful, bright red Chevrolet convertible. And as I was standing there, the person said to me, a group of us, well, to me actually, can you tell me how to get into the stadium? And I said, I am very sorry. I am a visitor here myself. I was living in Oregon at the time, and I didn't know anything. We were there visiting. And all of a sudden, it dawned upon me who was talking to me. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was Murray Wills, the shortstop for the Los Angeles Dodgers. I didn't used to ask for autographs and so on. We were in New York some time ago, and as we were walking down the 42nd and 5th Avenue, my wife said to me, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "No, who is it?" And she said, "It's Fish. That's the guy that plays on the Barney Miller show." And she said, "Go up to him and get his autograph." I said, "Why?" I'm not interested with that. Well, that's how I felt. I wasn't too excited. I mean, it was good to see Murray Wills, but I didn't think, "Will you please sign this so I can prove to the people?" So go back to New York. It's interesting. I ran ahead of Fish because my wife wanted me to get this man to show that we actually saw the man in New York. So I ran ahead of the man, click, click. And then I got home and took the film to get it developed, and the film wasn't rolling. So why go through all the problems to see them? But there was Murray Wills, and he talked with me. It's an experience that I will not forget because of the significance. I mean, he was a base stealer par excellence, if you know the man. He had a sense of how to move from first to second in ways that very few, perhaps except Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese and some of the others, might know. Why am I telling you that story? I'm telling you that story, my friends, because we are almost always impressed with people of importance who communicate even to look in our direction. We feel there's a sense of importance. That person said something to me. I will never forget the time John Diefenbaker walked up to me and shook my hands. The president of the college came to me and said, "Can I touch you, Winston?" Oh, this is real great stuff. We are impressed with people of importance that we know, and who communicate with us. Listen to the words of Christ. You are my friends. Can you grasp that, my friend? Can you understand the fact that Christ himself says of you and of me that we are his friends? We want to investigate this just for a short, brief time this evening as we look to the baptismal service, and this being the text chosen to speak to those who are going to be baptized tonight. Consider with me, first of all, what I call the privilege of friendship. The privilege of friendship. Listen to Christ. You are my friends. The bond of friendship. The bond of friendship. It was initiated by Christ. It came from his words to the disciples, not from the disciples to him. It was not the disciples who thought, I wonder if Christ would become my friend. But it was the greater speaking to the lesser, inviting them into a kind of companionship that they could not have imagined was possible. You are my friends. It was initiated by our Lord. It is something, my friends, that Moses had in his experience in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, when God invaded his privacy in the backside of the desert and revealed himself as to why he came. And he told Moses that he had come because he was responding to the prayers of the people who had been in captivity for so many centuries. He said, I have come that I might send you to take my words to them, to tell them that deliverance is here. And Moses said these words, perhaps that you and I need to say as we think of the greatness of Christ who befriends us. Moses said, who am I? Who am I? Not simply to go to Pharaoh, but that God should come to me and befriend me and ask me to participate with him in a program that was so far out of the reach of man that it could only be ascribed to God, and God would single out Moses to actually be the one to take this message. Who am I? I said it again this morning, and I do not say it this evening with any apologies. We need to grasp, my friends, who Jesus Christ really is. We need to understand that he is God, that he needs absolutely no one, he needs nothing, he is not bankrupt for friendship. What he's doing is all by his elective choices. You are my friends. He initiated that. Murray Wills will die and he will go into the grave. John Diefenbaker is already dead, but Jesus Christ can never die, for he is life itself. And he comes and he looks into the faces of these men and he said to them, you are my friends. It was something initiated by Christ. Do we catch the wonder of it? But I want you to see the invitation, not only the initiative. The initiative was from the greater to the lesser, from the majestic to the peasant. But look at the invitation. He was saying this to his disciples. He was speaking to men who had the potential for failure. He was saying this to men upon whom the world of their day despised. You want to see how despised these men were? Turn, if you please, to Acts chapter 3 and verse 4:13. Acts 4 and 13. I should turn there with you. Acts 4:13. Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Two things are said about these men. First, they were unlearned. Literally, the word unlearned, my friends, means that they were without the Jewish qualifications for holding any office in Jerusalem, in any part of Israel. They did not have the Jewish schooling to be taken as Nicodemus to go from that point to come through the family that had the means of sending them there. They were unlearned. They did not have the skills. They did not have the positions. They did not, in fact, literally, W.E. Vine says of this word unlearned, mean that they were unable to write. Unable to write. In other words, these men had nothing outwardly that would be inviting to the community in which they lived. And then the text tells us something else. They were ignorant men, ignorant men. You know what word we get from this word? We get the word idiot from this word. They were idiots. They didn't have anything within themselves. They didn't have anything placed upon them that would actually cause them to be at least considered for any state office at all. They were unlearned, uneducated, men who had no skills, no professional knowledge. And at these men, Jesus Christ turned and he said, "You are my friends." Does that stagger your minds? He could have gone, "My friends," to some of the best educated of his time. He could have looked at Nicodemus and invited him because he had the position and he had the qualifications. But no, he went to those who had nothing. Listen to the words of St. Paul. "For you see your calling, that not many wise after the flesh, not many noble, God has chosen the things that are despised so that the glory might be of God." The initiative. It was Christ's initiative. "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." The invitation. It was to uneducated and unlearned men. In other words, my friends, the calling of God is not according to positions or qualifications. It's according to his own love. His own love. We sing it, we speak about it again and again, but I do not know that we grasp it. So we want to look at the basis for friendship. If the bond was between the majestic and the peasant, if it was between the greater and the lesser, if it was between life and those who needed life, what is the basis for this? We see this, my friend, in verse 9 of chapter 15 of our text. "As the Father has loved me, so I love you." The basis for this divine friendship is divine love. Divine love. The word that is used is the word agape. The word speaks of a unique love that does not have its origin in man. It speaks of a quality of love that is pure, a love that is not dependent. It speaks of a love that is actually complete within itself. It speaks of a love, my friends, that has its origin in the author of life. Divine love. Just exactly what is this? Paul tells us, my friends, that this love is so dependent upon God that upon our conversion, upon our entering into life with Christ through faith and repentance, the Holy Spirit took that love and poured it into our hearts so that believers, those peasants, those men who were men of the fishing nets, those men were walking about with God's love in them. They were walking about with God's love in them. Jesus said to them, "As the Father has loved me, so in the same way." Dear friends, can you grasp this? The Father loves the Son completely. The Father loves the Son absolutely. The Father loves the Son eternally. The Father loves the Son without any shadow of turning. "As the Father loves me, so I love you." Now, tomorrow morning, many of you go back to school. Some of you who are on Bob Ray days, like my wife, will not go back until Tuesday morning. And perhaps you will feel, "Oh my, back to the routine. Back to the pressures. Back to those things which threatens my sanity. Back to the inconsistencies of those with whom I associate. Back to the misunderstanding. Back to the criticisms." As you go back, my friends, as the Father has loved him, so the Father loves you. You go back tomorrow with that kind of a love with you and in you. You will meet all those people with a divine quality unless they know Jesus Christ as well. Unless they know Jesus Christ as well. Divine love is the basis for this friendship. It was initiated by Christ. So he says to them, now, as a father loves me, agape, so I want you to become my friends, phileo. I want you to feel a tenderness. I want you to understand that your relationship with me as friends will not be cold and calculative. It's going to be something that is warm. It's going to be something that is rich. It's going to be something that is alive, something that turns over and over again with freshness as you enjoy it day by day. That's what the word friends mean. You are my friends. The love of Jesus Christ for these men, my friends, was never a cold kind of love that is there today and gone tomorrow. It was a love that was eternal, therefore it was fresh. His banner over them, in the words of Song of Solomon, his banner over them was love. I want you to be my friends. Note, it was from Christ to them, divine love. But I want you to see it was demonstrative love. Greater love has no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And Jesus is moving to something. Divine love, my friends, can never be appreciated apart from demonstration. God could never tell us how much he loved us. He had to show us how much he loved us. And God was going to show us this by his Son going to the cross. Greater love has no man. Listen, dear friends, this is the quality, this is the dignity, this is the kind of love that you and I are called not only to experience with God and me, but with one another. We must be willing to make sacrifices for one another. If the love of Christ is truly abiding in us, we will be not only willing, we will be ready. First book of Samuel, chapter 20, verses 17, and then verses 30 to 33. We're told, Jonathan loved David as he loved his own life. And verses 30 to 33, when Jonathan went before his father, and Saul became angry with Jonathan because he protected David, Jonathan stood before his father and saw that javelin coming toward him. And if he did not duck, he would have been destroyed by his father because of the jealousy of Saul's heart. What am I getting at? True love, my friends, will take risk for its objects. True love will take risk for its objects. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In the early church, those who had were willing to spend what they had for others, because true love cannot be only felt. True love must be felt. Must be felt. And I'm suggesting to you that as we think in terms of what God is doing in our lives and in our church, we have to go beyond simply shaking the hands of people. We must get to the place, my friends, where people feel and see the demonstration of God's love as we reach out to one another. Let me quickly get to my second point, which is now coming toward the baptismal service, the proof of friendship. The proof of friendship. The privilege is that Christ initiates it. We have a bond with him. The basis is divine love. He has provided what we need. And now let's look at the proof. You are my disciples if you do what I command you. Friendship with Jesus, my friends, does not negate the authority of Jesus over our lives. There must be the awareness of his authority. I command you. The word command has about five important meanings. The word means to give an injunction. The word means to order. The word means to give a precept. The word means to give a command. The word means, my friends, to cause a person to act. Jesus said, I command you. He is the one from whom the command is going to come. And before he left to go back to glory, he said to his disciples, all authority is given unto me. Go ye into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them. Baptism, my friends, is the awareness of the authority of Christ over my life. It is the awareness of the authority of Christ in my life. You are my disciples if you do what I command you. He has the right to order your life. He has the right to set precepts for your life. He has the right to set directions for your life. You know, In a sense, I am going through a kind of a metamorphosis in my life. There's a change. There's a constant change in my life. Because more and more, as I have been going through the book of Proverbs, we often think of the book of Proverbs as a book that has just little nice thoughts for people to deal with, to live with, little things like, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Listen, friends, do you know that the book of Proverbs speaks about the lordship of God more than any other book in the Old Testament? The book of Proverbs. It speaks about the authority of God. Listen, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord has the final say. A man may have his words in his mouth, but the thing will take place because of the Lord, the lordship. And Jesus spoke to his disciples and he said, "You are my friends, but I don't want you to forget something. In this companionship, in this friendship, we are not talking about just a nice feeling. We're talking about living with the awareness of the authority of Christ. He has the right to give precepts." And he gave this. He said, "I command you." I, the absolute one who speaks. And then he says to them, "I want your allegiance. I want your allegiance. If you do what I command you, you are my friends." True friendship with Christ, my friends, strives for obedience to Christ. True friendship with Christ seeks to understand what his will is. And there is no question about his right to reveal his will for my life. And so Jesus said, if you adopt your mind and your thoughts to what I have said. In other words, he's talking about obedience. And those who are going to be baptized are doing so in obedience to Christ, not to this church. Baptism is not something that we developed in 1857 or 1870 or 1877 when the denomination was born in its infancy and then developed to this time. It was Christ's command to the church. You are my friends if you do what I command you. If you do. So that friendship with Christ doesn't really begin to come into its full fruition until there is a willingness to submit to his authority and to obey the precepts he has set down for our lives. And that is something we do all through our lives. It is something we do, my friends, at the cross when we begin our Christian experience with Christ by faith. It is something we do as pilgrims, we go through the progress of our Christian life. And when we get to glory, we are told in the book of Revelation, whatever glory we may have taken there because of the grace of God, we will lay everything at his feet. Because he's Lord. He's Lord. He's risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And these who are being baptized tonight desire friendship with Christ, as do others who have been baptized. And they want to say, "I want to be your friend," because I'm not going through the whole text. You know what the text says after this, friends? You know what the text says? That friends of Jesus are shared. The secrets of heaven are shared with friends of Jesus. The secrets of heaven are shared with friends. Jesus said, "I don't call you servants anymore, but friends." For a friend knows what his friends shares. And we are this evening going to experience that as we come to this place of baptism.